ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This year in 2016, I mean, this is it, man. We either go into George Orwell's totalitarianism, where we have an all-centralized, all-powerful, cradle-to-grave government, and there's no turning back. Once that door is shut, it's over. We have an opportunity to change America. We really do. I don't feel up to the job. I don't feel adequate. I don't feel worthy. I'm sure you guys don't feel adequate or worthy. We know we're not special. We're fallible. We're imperfect. So is everybody else in your audience. But guess what? Look around. There's nobody else to get in the game but us. We may feel like we're not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. Why isn't there some great leader coming? There is none. It's up to you and I, you know, yes. A Gideon's band, a remnant, and we can change the direction of America. But it's going to require being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, a total revolutionary, radical commitment to Jesus Christ, and using your mind like God intended you to use it, which means raise the level of your intelligence and quit thinking like some little immature 9-year-old and learn to use discernment, whether it comes to political candidates or career choices or whatever. Crying out loud, this is the last year we've got. It's now or never.
Welcome, folks, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. I suspect you heard that, right? That was Paul McGuire. Yes, Paul McGuire. You didn't even see his lips move, did you? Paul McGuire from earlier this year. How prescient is that? Was that Paul McGuire is going to be our guest? Folks, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. The night before Thanksgiving in the United States of America, where Drudge Report is screaming, most hope in a decade. Headline, big headline. Interesting times in which we live, aren't they? Folks, we're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. Global Star Radio Network is where we broadcast, and of course you can watch us on YouTube Live. And just wanted to just thank each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your trust in us, for your belief in us. Thank you for walking with us, together with us. Thank you for helping us grow. Words, there are no words to really express my gratitude, our gratitude, our thanks as a family, a remnant perhaps. You know, we have listeners from all over the world. I know folks don't celebrate American Thanksgiving in the UK or in Australia. I mean, I understand that. It's not a holiday for you. But thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for celebrating with us. We have to remember what Thanksgiving is. I'm Doug Hagman, of course, of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So proud to have with us Paul McGuire from paulmcguire.us. Paul, thanks for listening to yourself open up the program.
Doug, thank you for having me on.
Yes. Didn't even see your lips move on that one.
Oh, I did.
Wow. Powerful, though. Paul, I'll be quiet now and just let you talk, my friend. I'm sorry, I didn't mean over talking. I know we're on I know you're on a Skype connection, and I know that there's a touch of a delay. So, okay. thanks for coming back, brother.
Thank you for inviting me back. You know, I wasn't going to mention Thanksgiving because I didn't want to. I just didn't want to get into it. But then I was thinking about today's program and what's happened in the United States of America. And there's a foundational precept here which applies to those people in America and to everybody around the world. the reason America up until the last, let's say, 50 years has been the most prosperous, most free nation on planet Earth, imperfect, we all know, but the reason it has was the most powerful nation on Earth, the freest nation on Earth, and the most prosperous nation on Earth has to do with an historical fact, which is in the 1600s, the Pilgrims and Puritans escaped England for religious freedom, and they entered into a supernatural covenant with God based on Deuteronomy 28, where they pledged to God that they would worship the true God and not false gods, and that they would not only study his word, but obey his word. And I was studying this last night, and this verse at the very beginning of Deuteronomy 28 came back into my mind, and that is God, the Pilgrims and Puritans, and that's why we in America celebrate this unique day of Thanksgiving. It's because the Pilgrims and Puritans offered up to God thanksgiving. So in the first verse in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, God promises to Israel, and he promised to the Pilgrims and Puritans, if you worship me and don't worship false gods, and if you obey my words and hearken diligently unto the word of God, I will raise you up above all the nations in the earth. Now, we can think that's, you know, a nice superstitious thing with the pilgrims and the turkeys and all the rest of that stuff. But no, that's what happened in history. And as a consequence of what the Pilgrims and Puritans did in the 1600s, America was indeed, as a matter of historical fact, raised up to be the most powerful nation on earth, both economically, in terms of spiritual, religious freedoms, freedom of every kind, economic prosperity, and that came true. America became greater than any other nation on earth because of those things. Now, when we violated the covenant, which began a long time ago, but accelerated, let's say, around 1917, which was the time of the Bolshevik Revolution, when we violated that covenant with God, then that curse that the Pilgrims and Puritans knew very well about began to slowly infect us like a virus. So now here we are, and it's after an election, and God has given America, and through America, the world, a second chance. And if anybody doesn't understand the fact that this election is far more than one candidate getting into office, this election is a pivotal point in human history. Just as great as a turning point, let's say, as the French Revolution, the original American Revolution, the Communist Revolution. It's not that Donald Trump is so great individually. He's flawed, but he has decided to make himself available as a champion, and God has given us a second chance through him. His greatness is under assault by the Lilliputians, and I don't know if anybody remembers Gulliver Travels. I barely remember it myself, but in that novel Gulliver's Travels, there were giant men in the land, and a particular giant who was very, very powerful and capable of all kinds of things, but the Lilliputians were these small, tiny people who were frightened and scared, but the way they were able to conquer the giant was the Lilliputians tied him up in little knots with their pettiness. So what we see right now is the media in the last throes. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody drown to completion. Fortunately, I have not. But when somebody drowns and they're about to go down and under, there's that last adrenaline burst, and they're flailing in the water for all it's worth, and then they sink beneath the water. Well, what we're seeing with the media, and we need definitely not to be frightened of the media, this is their last gasp. They have built their attack and assault on every American in this nation, no matter what race or ethnic group, who believes in God, who believes in hard work, who believes in capitalism, who believes in freedom, the mass media and the elite, the global elite, the political elite, the financial elite, have attacked, they have disdained, they see themselves as royalty, but they're going down hard. So there's a lot of chest thumping and bravado by CNN and ABC and NBC and the rest of the networks, but it's a lot of hollow chest thumping. Those media empires are about to crash, and you're going to see them crash visibly. The stock market, Lord willing, is about to roar, and you're going to see the stock market roar with the invigoration of rocket fuel, because for the first time in many, many decades, we're going to have a tax policy that doesn't punish the creation of wealth. And on top of that, we have a president dedicated to restoring religious freedoms. So this is a very historic moment, and I just hope your listeners recognize the hour in which we're in, because the people in the media don't recognize it. They don't have any clue what's going on. But those people who claim to know God and who know something about history must understand that this is a once-in-a-lifetime, if not once-in-a-century event, which is occurring now. And it's the beginning of a radical transformation of America back to its roots, back to what made America great again. And it's not going to come without a fight. I mean, you know, the victory is not done. It's not over. We've won the first decisive battle, and we need to hang in there. But you are going to live to see, and I will live to see, an enormous turning point here.
You know, Paul, you said a lot there. Number one, Trump, the man. I don't believe for a moment it's about Trump, the man. It's about the collective ideology of a public who is sick and tired of being lied to. They're finally, or at least a significant number of Americans, people in the West, have been awakened, knowing that they're being gamed. And it's because, or it's in spite of the corporate media, and you're absolutely correct, and therefore the backlash against the corporate media, and the corporate media is becoming irrelevant, and you're right, they've got this death grip on their positions of influence over the people in the West. Now, I also believe that we witnessed a revolution and under the leadership of Trump. However, I don't know how Trump is going to, I don't know what kind of leader he's going to be. And I'm not, we hear his words. We see some compromise. I suspect that some of the compromise is just merely to sedate the more, chaotic elements of society. That's my view anyway. I think some of the compromise are it's words. But yet, you know, here he is. I mean, we've got 50 some days before he's going to be inaugurated, before he assumes power. So, there's a lot of real estate between today and inauguration day. So we've got a lot yet to see, but you're right. I truly believe, as you spoke about, and I was going through our programs together today, Paul, and I should have pulled some other really interesting quotes that you made. You know, it's up to us. It's up to us to create that revolution and to stand up and play our positions and be counted and to say, no, not anymore, not us. We know we have to stop. So, I mean, but you had called this early on through your appearances on our program. You've talked about this as well, or written about this, I should say, in the Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, which is really fantastic. And folks, you can go to paulmaguire.us for a copy of his book. It's interesting to look at that, what you wrote, in the context of today's headlines, and you were right on the money. So, but Paul, I just really think, as we hear, and I see a lot of people getting really excited. When I say excited, I'm not talking about good excited. I'm talking about, whoa, you know, he's caving on this, he's caving on that. He hasn't even stepped in the Oval Office yet, and yeah. You know, so just folks, hold on. And the other thing, too, now I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just saying he hasn't even stepped in, and I'm sure that that's kind of part of the art of the deal, I suppose. And the other thing, though, I just want people to understand, if you think that the globalists are, and Paul, I was in password protected sites of some of the more Marxist elements of our society, of which I've been able to infiltrate and have accounts and able to monitor. I mean, they're fixing to continue the fight. They're not going down easy. They want recounts in four states. They want lawsuits filed based on Trump's financial interests. They want to claim that he's not constituted, of all things, to claim that he's not constitutionally eligible to become president because of his business interests. And then they're making, of course, Keith Olbermann is making a case that he's just crazy. I was going to use another term, but I can't. So, you know, there's all these forces against them. So, you know, the fight is just starting, isn't it?
Yeah, the fight is just starting. God has been gracious to us, and this is why on your program so many times over the years I kept stressing the need for repentance and crying out to God and divine intervention. And we saw the results of crying out to God and divine intervention, because Trump should not have been elected. Everything in the world was against him. But we have this other problem. We've had the infiltration in America for the last 50 years. Well, it goes back further than that. But for 50 years intensively, America has been infiltrated by a Marxist infiltration that primarily penetrated the universities and the educational system, actually beginning in 1917. And they're using hardcore Marxist strategies, communist strategies, to overthrow the United States through subversion from within. That's why you see the millennials. It's really a tragedy with the millennials, because they are, and I don't mean this to put them down, but they are brainwashed zombies. Every time I hear a millennial being interviewed, they know nothing about nothing, and they can spout off like five words, and their entire consciousness and worldview is totally focused in on diversity, misogynist, LGBT community, and a couple of other words. And their entire framework on life is built around that. And they've been brainwashed into being dependent on an all-powerful state, which they naively believe will redistribute the wealth and create social justice, which is a complete lie. So this same Marxist revolutionary philosophy has been like a virus in the university systems for a long time, and many of the people in the media have been captured by it ideologically. At least they don't like to call themselves communists or Marxists, but they call themselves progressives or liberals or socialists. But they embrace this worldview. Now, when I'm watching these people in the media, you know, the so-called big journalists, I am looking at very uneducated men who are not deep thinkers. They basically have little or no understanding of history, philosophy, culture, religion. They are, you know, somewhat agile with their vocabulary on a very superficial basis. They look physically like weak men and weak women. There's no character in their face. There's no strength. And they're the bureaucrats, the sycophants of George Orwell's Big Brother. And they lie, and they don't even realize how committed they are to their lies. Like this whole thing of, you know, comparing Trump to this wacko group of Nazis. This is a complete falsehood. The media searched far and wide to video a bunch of nuts and then try to equate Steve Bannon and Trump in that group, which is complete and utter nonsense. But what we need to do is we need to keep our eyes on the prize. And you said something very important, and we need to learn from this. I was in the radical left. I was demonstrating with Abby Hoffman when I was 15 and all the rest of that stuff. But the radical left, which is financed by Soros and others, has a long-term game plan, long-term strategy. They're in it if it takes decades or 100 years. They're in it, and they're playing hardball, and they're dedicated, and they have strategies, and they're not going to take no for an answer. Now, Van Jones, communist revolutionary. We can go down the list. Many of them don't publicly come out and say who they are. So they're deeply entrenched, and they're not going to walk away. But we have a problem here. God has answered our prayers and given us a Donald Trump and a tremendous opportunity to make the most a stark change in our nation's history. And America, I believe that if God's people will commit themselves to physically standing up and being counted in a law-abiding, peaceful way, and if God's people will truly commit each one of their lives to be agents of the Lord Jesus Christ in our society, we can change things around. But what I'm very concerned about, and I keep seeing this, the reason the left took over the universities, the reason the left took over the media and filmmaking and most of the power centers in society is because evangelical Christians suffer from a faulty worldview which is not biblical. They're super spiritual. They will absolutely not roll up their sleeves and go to work, which communists and Marxists do. They won't hang in the struggle while it's tough. They run home and hide under their pillow and say it must not be the will of God because things are intense. So God couldn't possibly be leading me to fight the good fight of faith if there's adversity. So this is God's way of telling me I should go home and hide under the pillow, which is nonsense. And then we have to come to face this reality. And you know, the bottom line is, we have a very small percentage of evangelical pastors in the United States who are faithful pastors. They're hirelings. They do not have a robust and strong biblical worldview. They have no idea about the battle that you and I discussed. They're leading their people in sedative sermons that keep them doped up and disconnected from the culture. And as long as individual Christians, and I'm speaking to individual Christians in your audience, sorry to kind of overheat your oven before you put the turkey in, but if you want to just have stuffing for brains, then keep going to these churches which are disconnected and keep justifying your disobedience before God by going to these churches that are producing the Marxist strategies, where you're out there in la-la land. Keep going to those churches, because when you worship in those churches, you become one with them. And who is them? Them is those people who offered an evil report to God and said, we can't take the land. Go ahead. Continue in fellowshipping in those churches. Continue using the money that God has given you to invest in worthy projects for the gospel. Continue to tithe and write checks to fund churches which are destroying our nation because of apathy. Go ahead, continue to do that, and continue to play church instead of being a real Christian and go to church. I'm being confrontive. I'm doing it in love, but unless this group of people wakes up and gets engaged, God is about ready to do one of the most phenomenal things in the history of mankind. We could very easily see a temporal golden age for the preaching of the gospel, for the rebirth of religious freedoms, for the transformation of our nation. Admittedly, it'll be a short-term thing, but it will be the last move of God and the massive soul harvest before he returns. This is what God wants to do, but he can't do it unless the individual men and women who call themselves Christians are going to sever the ties to these churches, which are not churches at all. They're sensitivity workshops. The left, the radical left, look down with total disrespect on these churches. You need to get in the game and be engaged spiritually and physically. And you have to have, if you don't have the same commitment in your life, and if your pastor doesn't have the same commitment, and if your fellow Christian friends don't have the same commitment as these Marxists, these leftists, these progressives, and the others trying to change our society. Well, there's something very wrong about that if you don't have a commitment superior to them.
You know, this is so very well said. And as we approach the bottom of the hour here, Paul, I just want to say that what we're looking at in society, I believe, and we're now that the dust has settled somewhat, although it's going to get kicked up again, or it's going to remain kicked up in many areas, but has settled much from the election. We have to look at not only ourselves, but those with whom we fellowship with, and those with whom we hitch our wagon to. And you know, we see a lot of people, I believe, who are phone addicted, self-obsessed, hashtagging, Snapchatting, kale munching, twerking, lazy, whining, ill-informed, politically correct, corseted narcissists who find absolutely everything that mortally offensive and believe that there are 165 ways to sexually identify. Stop it. Stop it. By the way, I referenced none other than Piers Morgan in that characterization. Can you believe that?
You did? Wow.
Yes, I did. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Very special guest, Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is his website. If I can twist his arm a little bit, I'm going to ask him to stay for until the bottom of the next hour. We'll see if he can do that. Folks, we're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Day before Thanksgiving 2016. You know, it's something to look back to just, 3 weeks ago when we had a group of Marxist progressives, snowflake, liberal, identifying, sexually confused morons out there who were just having a fit over Trump's statement about, not perhaps accepting the outcome of the election in the context, of course, of the questionable votes and vote fraud. But now, today, now that Trump has been proclaimed victorious in the Electoral College, which they're going to meet on the 19th, the big thing is, well, wait a second, Hillary won the popular vote, and of course, that doesn't really count, as they would have said if this would have been reversed. But now they've taken, and they continue to riot. They continue to vandalize. They're staging cry-ins. They're staging, making safe zones. They're passing out Play-Doh and balloons and pacifiers and diapers. I guess they do need them. They're finding reasons not to go to class or take tests. They're group hugging. They're tweeting and tweeting numerous threats and posting on social network threats and calling names. And as Paul McGuire, our guest, PaulMcGuire.us, said, just coming in, they're doing so well. They're attempting to see, they're seeking counseling, for crying out loud. They're doing everything in their power to make sure that their voices are heard. You know, If they continue on this route, they will self-destruct, which is not a bad thing. It's and of course Paul spoke about the snowflake millennials, and this is exactly who we're talking about in the larger sense. Now, there are many millennials out there who are strong and, of course, more sensible. Folks, before we get back to Paul McGuire from PaulMcGuire.us, I want to mention that if you don't have one of these already, look, order soon. It's the G-Mag from Greenovative. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the battery charger. This is a... Look, when we're planning for disaster, when we're doing our disaster preps, a must-have is a good supply of batteries. throwaway batteries, they go dead. Or if they're on the shelf for any length of time or during use, well, with rechargeable batteries, you can always recharge them if you've got the right piece of equipment. The only piece of equipment now in the Hagman household, in the Hagman and Hagman studios, is the G-Mag. Solar chargers can help, but only during daylight hours. Hand crank chargers sound like a lot of work. They got a lot of moving parts and not all that great. The ideal solution is, in fact, a lightweight portable charger that makes power anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. And right now, and by the way, this piece of equipment is EMP safe. It's got an indefinite shelf life. It can charge an unlimited number of batteries and is made in the USA. So when natural or man-made disasters strike, you need power. All you need to do is add salt, add a little bit of water with the magnesium pucks, and there it is. You've got recharged batteries right there at your disposal. Folks, Greenovative. 15% off of all purchases between now and Christmas, but hurry up because these are flying off the shelves. Greenovative, 15% off with the promo code Hagman. Greenovative.com, 15% off all purchases through Christmas with the promo code Hagman, but hurry up because these are flying off the shelves. Paul, I'm sorry to extend my earlier monologue too long, but we're just seeing this the results of the Second American Revolution, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's a very good term for it. We have literally seen the results of the Second American Revolution, and people need to understand how significant an event that just occurred. I mean, we've been literally under the tyranny for 60, 70 years of a humanist, anti-capitalist, anti-Christ, and anti-God control and coup in this nation. You know, America was people don't understand something. We talk about communism and Marxism, progressives and liberals. And when we get down to progressives and liberals, you know, they come in many, many flavors. So you have some that are, you know, legitimate people. But when you get down to hardcore Marxists like Van Jones, he's a very intelligent guy, but he's got a basic brain problem, because I watch him all the time and I study the way his mind thinks when he gets on CNN. He's very intelligent, but as I observe him processing thoughts, he can only do it in a cubicle in his mind, because he has been programmed into seeing the world through the communist, Marxist, dialectic and revolutionary paradigm. And so I noticed that when he's asked a question, or when Ben Jones has to deal with something that he doesn't know how to process through his Marxist mind program, I watch how his head spins. It's like a computer that doesn't know how to process an equation, because he's programmed. He doesn't realize he's programmed. He thinks he's intelligent. Well, yeah, he's an intelligent radical, but he doesn't understand the breadth and scope of life. He doesn't even understand the origins of Marxism and communism. So these kids, tragically, have been programmed. And not everybody in the millennial generation is, stupid or ignorant. But they've been brainwashed from from K through university, indoctrinated into Marxist socialist thought. So here's the thing. What they don't understand is that Marxism, from the beginning, was always a tool by the powerful globalist elite to control and enslave the workers and the masses. The entire Marxist progressive communist socialist program is built on a fundamental lie. It was never about social justice. It was never about redistributing the wealth. It was never about creating an ideal society where an all-powerful centralized state will make everything equal for everybody. That was never what communism, Marxism, was about. It was all, that was just the subterfuge. What it was really about was sucker punching a working man and baiting him to join the communist revolution so that the elite could totally enslave, dominate, and control the wealth and labor of the masses of working men and working women. In other words, it is the ultimate slave system. But you see, because these college professors and people like Van Jones and others, they're not very deep thinkers. They don't understand that they're pawns in a very sophisticated game. And the game has nothing to do with what they think it has to do with. And then, of course, as you know, Doug, the proof of the pudding is, without exception, there's not one single example in the history of mankind, including Russia, China, North Korea, whatever, that has ever produced, communism has never produced a prosperous, free state of happy people. Every communist regime, to varying degrees, is a slave state. And socialism always eventually produces poverty. And since the time I was 16 years old, I'd hear this barf nonsense that, well, we just haven't found the perfect state that uses Karl Marx's ideas properly. You know, Sweden is an example. Baloney! Sweden was never an example. Right now, Sweden is faced with an economic crisis because they have to build massive housing developments to house all the migrants that they were forced to accept. The only reason Sweden came off like a pseudo-successful socialist nation is because it had such a capitalist bank account in it and an isolated population group that it was an exception. But its prosperity had nothing to do with socialism. There isn't one socialist state in the world that works or produces. It works or produces for the 1%, but for the common man. And that's why these people in the media, you know, they're isolated. They talk to their friends in Manhattan. They talk to their friends in San Francisco or L.A., and they're clueless. They're paid a little bit more than most people, but they have no idea what's really going on.
You know what, Paul, if I can just say this, your books, and I stress this to people, I love to read. I read 2-3 books a week. Your book, all of your books, from Mass Awakening to, in particular, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, I will say this. You dig deep into what we're seeing today is the result of years, decades, a century or more of programming, of massaging our ideology, of destroying our Western value or system of values and culture. However, you are able to explain this, cite the really the day, if not the or the time period, if not the exact day or days when everything has changed or things have changed. Name the people behind this perverse plan that we're seeing. So I have to credit you with a lot of my education. So thank you for that. And I certainly hope everyone in our audience would take advantage of your writings as well, because they go, your writings go deep into this. When you're talking about the socialism of Sweden, and then you're talking about Van Jones, it's clear to me that it's clear to me at this point in my life, looking at everything, at the terrain, I don't see a way out of this except for not just a revolution, but there's going to be a civil war, Paul. There's got to be, unless we can defuse that civil war through prayer, through action, and through divine intervention, as well as a huge influx of understanding of the ideologies of how we've been gamed collectively. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, right now, when I see the millennials demonstrating, and I know that these millennial demonstrations are not spontaneous demonstrations. These Black Lives Matter demonstrations are not spontaneous. The demonstrations involving the shooting of the police, shooting of innocent black men. These are not spontaneous demonstrations. This is a nationwide circuit of demonstrations that is being managed and promoted by a highly organized Marxist network of highly trained professional Marxist revolutionary agitators, funded by people allegedly like George Soros, who through his Open Society and other groups funds like hundreds of counterculture groups. So he also funded Adbusters, which was like the propaganda arm for Occupy Wall Street. He helped to fund Occupy Wall Street and so many of these other groups. And he gathered together, not he directly, the people that were working for him, people who were called in-depth psychologists, people who were experts in brainwashing and persuasion and indoctrination and coordinating revolutionary movements. I mean, these are scientific people who know the scientific mechanisms of igniting a revolution in America. That's what we're up against. This is not a bunch of, you know, pot-smoking buffoons. Maybe their minions on the street are, but the people orchestrating this are using scientific methods, just like Hitler did, just like the communists did, to transform our nation. And this will go to a civil war. Now, the thing is, though, what people need to understand is that this is a multidimensional warfare. So on one hand, we have the warfare on the ground, which is voting, media, persuasion, indoctrination, programming, brainwashing, et cetera, et cetera. But on the other hand, and this is what most people neglect to understand, we have a higher dimensional warfare going on above the physical warfare of just simply ideas and media and coordination of demonstrations. This higher dimensional warfare is literally a spiritual warfare between demonic beings and fallen angels and God's angels and God's hierarchy of angels, in which prayer is employed and fasting and repentance is employed on God's side. But on the Luciferian side, and Christians need to really wake up and get out of that trance state, because that trance state is going to send you right into a concentration camp. And if you're hearing my voice and you say, man, I don't like Paul McGuire today, he's just being too intense before Thanksgiving. Well, guess what, my friend? You're going to be the Thanksgiving turkey baked in the oven. And I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being spot on. The Jews were in a trance. They were sedated through scientific mind control, so that to the very seconds before that they were burned alive in the concentration camp ovens or gassed to death, they would stand outside the door of where they were going to be gassed to death or shoved into the ovens and baked into oblivion. And they still were in denial. They thought the showers were to help them clean them up so they could get a job. I mean, it was really a tragic thing. They were in such denial of reality. So we have to remember something here. There's a spiritual component to this battle. And when American Christians turned away from God, we allowed, through our neglect, the entrance of the spirit of Antichrist into our nation. The spirit of Antichrist is different than the Antichrist, capital A, who will come at an appointed time. The spirit of Antichrist is when powerful demonic spirits are given permission to enter a nation like Nazi Germany and take control of it. And they begin, the spirit of Antichrist begins by attacking every single thing and institution of God, everything that God likes. And that's how the spirit of Antichrist begins waging war against the society. So the same very spirit of Antichrist that infiltrated Germany and produced Hitler and the Holocaust, that spirit of Antichrist is moving with great acceleration now here in the United States of America. So how do we know that? Look at everything the brainwashed millennials and the other people who are brainwashed spout out of their mouths. Misogynist, diversity, LGBT rights, something about anti-capitalism or whatever. notice that those words are essentially targets, and the Marxist strategy is to destroy every institution of God. So Christian morality is under attack. The Christian family is under attack. Traditional moral values is under attack. Pro-life is under attack. Freedom of religion is under attack. This is not an accident. The Antichrist demonic powers that are behind communism and a Marxist siege target first every Christian institution, every Christian leader, and then they bring down the political establishment. So we need to recognize where we are in the spectrum of time. Now, I didn't say that to produce fear. I'm saying we still have enough time to launch a counterattack, a law-abiding, peaceful counterattack, and we still have time. God has given us an enormous victory with Trump. But if Christians listening out there think, well, Trump won, and now I can go back to sleep again and play church and go to some church where they're singing Kumbaya, My Lord, or all the rest of the garbage they're doing, no, that's not acceptable before God. God, this is our second chance. We're not going to get a third chance. We got chance number two. This is it. Wake up, smell the coffee, do your job. There ain't going to be a third chance. The third chance will be we go down hard. America will go down harder than most nations. We will become a hardcore totalitarian states. And mark my words, these are not the words of an extremist. I'm not trying to manufacture paranoia or hysteria. I'm very reluctant. I almost never say these words. I almost never do. But based on, if we reject this number two option, the second American Revolution, which God has granted us now, and we go back to sleep, listen to me very carefully, you need to wake up, because if you say you love your daughter and your son, and you love your fellow neighbor, and you love your fellow man, if you really love them, if you really love your family, if you really love this nation, if you really love people, love thy neighbor as thyself, if you really love them, then you won't go to sleep and allow the third dynamic to happen, which this nation falls to a totalitarian Marxist state. And guess what will happen? Mark my words. You will see the killing and mass slaughter or mass euthanasia or however they choose to dispose of the bodies of Christians in camps all across America. That's not paranoia. That is simply based on the historical parallels of China, Korea, Russia, and every nation, and Hitler with National Socialist Party, every nation which has allowed the spirit of Antichrist to dominate it and control it has always produced, without exception, at the end of the road, mass Holocaust, slaughter, and annihilation. So if you want to see your wife and your kids and your grandkids taken off in body bags because they are enemies of the state, this is where this thing is going. If we are not faithful with this tremendous victory that God has given us. I just finished producing a brand new DVD called, it's a three DVD set called America, What's Going to Happen Next, and it's available now. It was finished after the election, and it talks about the tremendous opportunity we have to take back this land and let America be a platform for the gospel worldwide. But remember, if we fail to be faithful with what God has done for us, then we're going to hit the default number three dynamic, which is the awful consequences to totalitarianism.
You know, we must keep sober. We must keep on point. We must hit the ground running, or continue running, run faster, play harder, play our positions with more, be a little bit wiser. With our time, with our efforts, and hone in on specific targets, shall we say. And targets is not meant as any type of it's objectives, I guess, is what I mean to say.
And you mean peaceful targets,
Yes, of course, because, you know, without a doubt, you know, someone is going to take that word and say, "Oh my goodness, you know, you're advocating violence." No. We must keep objectives in front of us and prayerfully continue forward with after our objectives. And you know, that's just it. We do have this opportunity. Now, the one thing though, Paul, that we're seeing right now is this huge push, and this goes back to what you said earlier, this huge push where people like us, like you and me and other people in the new media, in the citizen journalists, whatever you want to call us, investigative journalists, investigators, reporting on our findings, columnists, whatever, we're being labeled as fake news, and they're calling for sanctions now against people like us. Censorship.
They're actually doing it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm really glad you brought that up. That whole fake news thing is such a transparent agenda. What it really is all about, as you know, Doug, and probably many of your listeners know, fake news is nothing more. When they mean fake news, what they really mean is any news that doesn't fit into their liberal, Marxist, socialist, progressive agenda. So if you write that capitalism is good and Christianity is good and base a story on it, that's going to be called fake news. If you write a story that, you know, global warming, we need to all ride bicycles and, you know, eat vegetables, that's going to be called legitimate news. So the fake news, legitimate news dynamic is nothing more than a trick to attempt to censor all opposing views of the globalist, socialist, Marxist attempt at dominating the media. That's all it is. And you know that, but I hope all of your listeners understand that this is a game they're playing. They're out for total. See, totalitarian regimes are about total censorship, total control. Conversely, the Constitution is freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. So fake news is nothing more than making it illegal for you to say, write, or express anything that doesn't fit into the Orwellian, Big Brother, globalist elite agenda.
You're right on target, as usual. And we're seeing this push and against us. And, you know, folks, I just really want everyone to understand how we in this venue, in this arena in which we are operating, we are being subjected to just this an incredible amount of warfare, whether it's lawfare,
yeah,
whether it is, you know, threats of lawfare, threats of whatever, or actual lawfare, or claims, fictitious claims of whatever it might be, pejorative character assassinations,
right,
on our integrity and character. Paul, you and I, all of us are putting up with this. Paul, can I twist your arm to stay for another 30 minutes? Can you do that, my brother?
No, I'd be delighted to stay as long as you want.
That's perfect. All right, folks, our very special guest, Paul McGuire from paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. What a tremendous DVD offer he's got there, as well as his books. I would urge everyone to go to paulmcguire.us. Christmas is coming, gift giving season. If you do that, please consider that for your gift giving. I can think of no better gift than Paul's DVD sets at any one or all of his books. Again, Paul McGuire from paulmcguire.us. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. We'll be right back. Stay right where you're at.